Richard Fitzwilliams on the line, our film critic. Good afternoon, Richard. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. The royal wedding gets ever closer. So does, of course, the Royal Bath and the Commonwealth Conference. So it's an exciting time here for all things royal.
Absolutely. And I've been keeping an eye on my postbox, but nothing's arrived yet. So I'm not sure about you, Richard.
We just have to not mention these things, you see, so I can't say.
No, I won't say either, just in case. Right then.
Well, one of the Spice Girls did.
Yes, so very busy time, of course, yeah, lots for you to be talking about as well. And the Commonwealth Conference, you say, as well, when is that?
That is later in the month, and then it's just before the Queen's birthday, and that will be commemorated with a concert. So that, too, will be somewhat unique, because the Queen usually only commemorates her official birthday in June.
Yeah. It seems that Meghan Markle can't do much wrong at the moment. Everybody seems to be taking to her, and wherever she goes, people standing out in the pouring rain. And was it Northern Ireland recently?
Yes, it was indeed. Meghan Mania is called, and with good reason, because she can not only play the crowds, but also, as we know, unlike Prince Harry's former girlfriend, she knows how to cope with the tension.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so let's move on to some movies then this week, Richard, and we're looking at, first of all, let me tell you this first film, The Square. Usually I watch the trailers and some clips from the film to give me half an idea as to what you're going to be talking about, and I watched the trailer to this film, and I was still none the wiser afterwards. So tell me more on The Square.
Well, I can only say that I have never seen a film like this. It won the Palme d'Or at Cannes, and it's directed by Ruben Östlund. It is a murderously glorious, absolutely hilarious satire on the absurdities of self-importance of the intellectual elite. It's a look at communication in our extremely superficial age, and also about the lunacies of contemporary art. It's set in a contemporary art gallery in Stockholm. It's called Ex Royal. It's a former palace, and now it is a huge museum. And initially, its curator, Christian, is interviewed by a journalist, and it's perfectly obvious that he's hiding behind jargon and really doesn't know a great deal about what he's talking about. But subsequent to that, he's involved in an incident outside the gallery where his wallet and iPhone are found missing, and one of those who works for him at the museum tracks it down to a block of flats. And here is the idea. Put in a letter accusing every single person in that block of stealing it and see what happens.
Wow.
I mean, the culprit, will he give it back? And what happens to those who are innocent and get this letter? Not to mention what happens when a party livens up the an opening, and the journalist who's talked to earlier, Anne, rather well played by Elizabeth Moss, they have sex together, and subsequently, I have to say, unforgettable, because I've never seen a scene like it. They have a tug of war over a condom, and okay, she comes back to the gallery to confront him. And when you talk in a gallery full of contemporary art, all the sounds are so weird because some of these constructions keep falling down deliberately, you know, as some of these works do. And it's an absolutely surreal interview, not to mention the public relations staff who are planning The Square. The Square, by the way, is a work of art. It's supposed to be almost a special form of sculpture, a sanctuary of trust, it says, and caring, and I quote, within it we all share equal rights and obligations. Well, when it comes to the PR idea, I will not give it away because it is so utterly, hideously tasteless and outrageous. It brings heaps of problems for the gallery, and not to mention a famous black tie dinner. You will see this on the poster, where someone who I can only describe as a living sculpture entertains the guests. The entertainment could, incidentally, verge on terror. I mean, all sorts of weird things that happen in this rather extraordinary film. It really is very, Berry, science can be funny. There's another scene where an artist played by Dominic West is giving an interview interrupted by someone who has Tourette's syndrome and screams out obscenities. And apparently some of these rather bizarre occasions and the way the movie portrays them, they have links to real episodes in real life. I absolutely roared with laughter at this film. It is wicked, it is outrageous, it is absolutely scandalous, it is way over the top, and it is also, I have to admit, too long, because climactically the last half hour, after a certain black tie dinner, which is so dramatic that, well, you do hold your breath, as well you might. It is a movie that drags a bit, but I'm not complaining, because my good gracious, the script, the performances, just the whole outrageous concept of it.
It sounds very groundbreaking, Richard, and movies, in this day and age where, you know, hero movies are 10 to a dozen, and it just seems like every week there's a new Marvel movie coming out, and I know some people love that, and I don't mind that myself either, but it's great to have stuff like this, isn't it, that's kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And also, it's a first-class cast. Klaus Bang plays Christian, who is involved in so much that I mentioned and a good deal that I am leaving for listeners to discover for themselves. Elizabeth was excellent as the journalist. I need hardly say, when they go back to her apartment and they have sex, that there's a chimpanzee in the next room, the sort of thing you expect, you know. And, of course, Dominic West, a hilarious episode which I mentioned, where he is insulted from the audience. That actually happened, apparently. There was also apparently some scene where a person played a dog and started barking and biting guests, which inspired the absolutely outrageous sequence we have at this dinner, where, hell hath no fury, such as what you see here. And what's more, it is so wickedly funny. I just roared with laughter at it. It's outrageous. You're laughing at things often that are, putting it mildly, so absolutely tasteless. But nonetheless, it also is a very incisive, bitter, angry film, because it is attacking pseudery, and because there is a lot of pretentious nonsense which is exhibited as art and also passed off in using ridiculous forms of jargon. What is also hilarious is our member, the Christian of the intellectual elite, plays this absolutely extraordinary prank where someone of his eminence rushes round dozens of letterboxes, putting in letters hoping to get back what's his, and of course accusing, and this is where his conscience comes in, accusing all of them basically of theft. This is priceless. You'll never see anything like it. You'll be outraged.
So, sounds like it certainly caught your attention, Richard. That's for sure. what we're going to go, I reckon you're going to go quite high on this one.
I'm going to 4. It is half an hour too long, and that is a problem. But having said that, let's complain. I've never seen anything quite like this, and the Palm d'Or is the Palm d'Or. You know, there again, apparently the art scene in Sweden must be livelier than I thought.
when Richard Fitzwilliams has seen more films than I could shake a cat at, says he's never seen anything like this before, we take that seriously. Let's move on to something that's called problems in the office here, because we know this word does not exist, but Unsane.
Unsane most certainly exists, because Steven Soderbergh has decided to invent it. He's on back on top form, and I have to say this entire film was shot on an iPhone, and that's one of the things about it, is that you feel it's almost the sense of unease watching this is so tangible. It's an unsettling study, and the main character is wonderfully well played by Claire Foy, who we've seen as Anne Boleyn in the Wolf Hall series, and also, of course, in the series The Queen, where she plays Queen Elizabeth. And this has been billed as a psychological horror thriller, which I think is a very good description of it. It's very gripping, it's intelligent, and we meet Sawyer Valenti, played by Claire Foy. She's doing well in a new job, but one night one night stand goes wrong, and we discover her phobia. For 2 years, she's been terrified that she's been stalked, and she seeks help. And faithfully, she signs a document which enables her to be confined in a hospital psychiatric ward. So once having signed it, when she objects and is outraged, well, the deed is done. So they can keep her in firstly for a day, and then subsequently, when she fights against what she regards as an outrage, for a week. A fellow patient of Violet is played by Juno Temple very well, and also she discovers a medical orderly is her stalker. A good performance by Joshua Leonard is the creepiest creature you ever saw. Is he deliberately overdosing her, or is she imagining it all? I mean, it's a tense movie, and luckily she's close to one of the patients, a fellow patient, Nate, played by Jeff Farrow, who tells her the hospital commits the same, so they get the insurance company's money to pay up. He comforts her and lends her his cell phone, so she calls her mother, played by Amy Irving, who visits her and intends to get her out. But here's the irony. The police are unwilling to act. Her lawyer says, see out the week, because she signed the paper. And, of course, there's someone there who may very well be the stalker. It is a tough, provocative, and very violent film. Be warned. It's extremely acted, and you have an excellent performance by Claire Foy, and also Jay Farrow as the gentle mate, who, well, if you know what's in the basement in this hospital, you'll see that it's not to be envied if you go down there. Some extraordinary scenes, and as I say, it is a pretty brutal, violent film, but it's extremely surreal and eerie and very effective.
You said it's all shot on an iPhone. I assume that was for the effect, not for budgeting purposes.
Well, apparently, the idea, and I think it works extremely well, is to create a rather unsettling and uneasy atmosphere, something that's extremely well sustained, I have to say. And remember, with a movie like this, don't relax until the end, because the end won't allow you to relax.
It sounds like you quite enjoyed it in a funny sort of way. It's not going to be a Saturday night rom-com, is it? That's for sure. What was your rating on that one, Richard, then, please?
Definitely it gets 4. It's good to see Soderbergh on good form. Remember Sex Lives video tape, Erin Brockovich, Traffic. He's done a lot of good over the years.
Absolutely. What can we expect next week, Richard, please?
Next week, we've got a choice between Gringo and also, potentially interesting, Mark Felt, the man who brought down the White House.
That sounds fascinating. Thank you very much, Richard. As always, we'll speak again. If anybody wants to find you on Twitter, where can they find you there?
It's www.richardfitzwilliams.com on my website, and Twitter at @rfitzwilliams.
Richard, have a great weekend. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Look forward.
Bye-bye.